Our thanks to the choir for providing from Sunday to Sunday such beautiful music, and I deeply appreciate it, as well as this church family. So God bless you. We'll look for your return in the fall. My sister Ella Walker passed away last week on Monday, and I am the last of 10 children that are left in the Montgomery clan. We had her funeral on Friday. She was 95 years old. She was here one time. Perhaps some of you remember her. And so I, in this funeral, I was asked to offer some memories of her. And what I said to that congregation there on Friday, the key to understanding Ella Walker is one simple, profound fact, and that is that she loved the Lord. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand who she was and who she is. That is what shaped her life. She loved the Lord. And in talking about that, I shared some thoughts out of the book of Corinthians. And I talked about Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, a strong church. Paul was talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he talked about the supernatural gift of wisdom, wisdom beyond our wisdom, a supernatural gift of knowledge and miracles and healings and prophecies and unknown languages and interpretations and gift of helps and gift administration and gift of teaching and so on and so forth. About 10 incredible gifts that God can give to his church. But then Paul changes gears. He leaves chapter 12, and he says, I want to now show you a more excellent way, not to discount the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but now I want to talk about the real gift of the Holy Spirit. And he begins to describe the gift of love. You have to understand this against what he just said about those great gifts of the Holy Spirit. But here is another gift. And he goes on to say, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I don't have anything, and if I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am not anything. I'm just a sounding noise. Take love out of it, it doesn't mean anything. And he says, if I prophesy, and if I understand all mysteries, and if I have faith that could move a mountain, that's a lot of faith. But if I don't have love, he says, I am nothing. He said, I can give my money to feed the poor. I can give my body to be burned. But if I don't have love, I am nothing. And so Paul is saying, all those other gifts are wonderful. But this, without love, they mean absolutely nothing. Then he goes on to say, well, this is what love looks like. It is gentle and it's kind. It is not proud. It does not envy. It is not rude. It doesn't keep a score. It never gives up. It believes all things, hopes all things. It looks for the good in other people. All these gifts, Paul says, they will pass away one day. The only three things that will remain is faith, hope, and love. And then he says, and the greatest of these is love. That's what it's all about. That is the essence of our faith. And so I used that to go on and begin to talk about my sister. And I said, here are some examples of her love. I remember when I was a young teenage boy that the power company came and cut off her power. And it was off for several days. Finally, it was cut back on. And I remember all the ups and downs in her life, and she had many challenges. But through all of that, she never stopped paying her tithes. Now think about that for a minute. Not because of she was frightened of God or anything like that, but because she loved God and loved his church, through it all, she managed somehow to pay her tithes into her church. That's because, and only because, she loved the Lord and she loved his church. And she loved God's word because those were the words of Jesus Christ, the one that she loved, and therefore she loved his words. Do you know my friend? She was a Sunday school teacher of an adult class for 41 years of her life. She did it because she loved God and she loved His Word. And she loved people. In my family of 10 children, oftentimes the kids got in a fight. That probably doesn't happen in your family. But there's some really severe sibling rivalry as I was growing up sometimes. And guess who was the first one to reach out and try to reconcile and to love and still be kind? There's a kind of a poem that describes exactly my sister in many ways. It goes like this. He drew a circle that shut love out. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. That was Ella Walker, my sister. She wasn't perfect, but she knew how to love. She had a son by the name of Arnell, and when he was, I think, 14 or 15, he was killed in an automobile accident, and that broke her heart. And Ann and I were there one time when she showed us a quilt that she had made. She had taken her son's coat and some other clothing and put together a quilt. And she said, Grant, when I really begin to grieve and to feel depressed and bad, she said, I take that quilt and I wrap it around me and it's a comfort to me. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen, you can't help but think about the fact that Jesus says the Holy Spirit will be a comfort to you. And it was that comfort that got her through that grief, the comfort of knowing of God's love shed abroad in her heart by the Holy Spirit. And she prayed for other people because she loved other people. Another visit, Ann and I was taken to her bedroom, and she had a kneeler there, and she showed us where every morning the first thing I do, she said, is I kneel here in this place. And she wasn't bragging, she's just sharing her faith. And before an open Bible, she prays. And she showed us a prayer list. And guess whose name was on that list? It was Grant Montgomery and his family and my kids and her kids. She prayed for other people because she loved other people. That's who she was. That's who God is. And when we love and reach out in love, that is how, and that's when God happens. I remember one time as a teenager when I'd kind of fallen by the wayside in the faith. And my sister said to me, Grant, Lord, God has given me a verse of scripture to pass on to you. Now she's concerned about me. And she took that sentence in the book of John where Jesus is speaking about Lazarus who had died. And the Lord said to Martha and Mary about their deceased brother, your brother will rise again. And she said, Grant, that's God's word to you. And I did rise again. The power of prayer that we so underestimate sometimes finds its way into the crevice of our souls and revives us in ways that we cannot sometimes understand or even know about. And what hospitality, what warmth of heart that she always greeted Ann and I and my four children. And so when we began to stay overnight with Ella, she took us in her bedroom again. She says, now I want you to sleep in my bed because that's where the feather tick was. I want you, that was the best bed in the house. And I said, no, we can't sleep in your bed. Where are you going to sleep? She said, don't worry about that, but I want you to sleep in my bed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is love and that is hospitality. She slept on the couch. Now, if that doesn't move your heart, that kind of love, when that kind of love reaches your heart and is given in love, that's how God happens in our lives. That's when God becomes real. And so we had the funeral there, and then came time to go to the grave, the cemetery. And it had rained off and on that day. And so we made our way, a long train of cars, and into this beautiful cemetery, and it began to rain just a little harder. And we gathered around under a little tent, a large group of us, and by the time we gathered there, it really began to rain. And it not only rained, the wind began to whip up. And we learned later that there were tornado warnings in the community. And that wind was blowing horizontal across our laps there, blew the flowers off of the coffin, and it was just drenching, and we were soaked to the bone, all of us. And the pastor was trying to have a decent committal, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he went ahead with all that rain coming down, and with two men holding his Bible for him, those pages, and he still did a committal service with dignity. But here's the amazing thing. Not one person left in that committal in that horrible rainstorm. They said, this woman loved us, and we love her, and we're not leaving here until her body is committed to the ground and her spirit committed to God. And you think if you look funny in your hats today, you should have seen those women as they walked away that day in all that rain. And so after that, I said, Ann, I can't drive home like this. And so we went to Bob Evans to change clothes. Now, imagine how we must have looked. So here I go in, and, you know, I always spray my hair and get it combed just right to cover all the bald spots. And so here we walk into Bob Evans, and I had our traveling clothes, and I had to unzip them right there in the reception area. And the young maitre d', she saw this, and I gave Ann her traveling clothes, and she went in one restroom, and I went in another restroom. And it took some time. I mean, we were really soaked to the core, to the bone, you might say. But when I came out, why, this little girl who was the greeter, she said, oh, I've been told about you just came from a funeral of your sister. And she said, can't we do anything for you? She said, can't we make some coffee, give you some coffee? And Ann says, do you have decaf coffee? She said, it's on the house. And so help us. They made fresh decaf coffee, and they gave us two large cups of coffee. And then we had to get back in the car, and that meant that Ann had to hold both cups of coffee, and I had to use an umbrella to take her to the car so she could sit in there. And those people in there holding the clothing of ours and standing in quite a group together at that time. And I had to make three trips to load my car while they were holding our things. And when we drove away, they were right there. You know something, ladies and gentlemen? That is what you call real kindness. And you know something? That's when God happens. When we reach out in gentleness and kindness to one another like that. That is when God happens. When I came to Hamilton in 1979, the following year, I learned about a couple who were shut-ins, Don and May Mitchell, who lived in 7 miles outside of Hamilton, a place called 7 miles. And they said, they're shut in. She's 86 and he's 88, and they can't get out. And so I went to visit them. And they were such a delightful couple. He could hardly get out of bed. He stayed in bed or in his recliner. And here she was, a frail 86, hands-on care for a long time. And one day she simply collapsed into unconsciousness. They rushed her to the hospital. There was no one there to take care of her husband. And they sent him to a Hillendale nursing home, and she was in that hospital over a week. And I would visit her there, and then one day I went in, she was agitated and worried, and I said, what's wrong, May? She said, tomorrow is Don's birthday. And here we are separated for the first time in our lives, and I have to give him something. And so I said, May, let me tell you. You figure out what you're going to give him. I'll have it wrapped, and you inscribe a note, and I'll take it to him, and I'll give it to him. Well, she was relieved. And then the question was, well, what would she give him? Well, he was an avid pipe smoker. In fact, while you would visit, she was the one who filled his pipe and would light that pipe. Now, this is not a commercial for tobacco, by the way. But she said, what I want you to do is get him a big can of half and half. And so I went and got a telephone book and some stationery from the hospital, and she inscribed a note to her beloved husband. And she said, my dearest Don, I love you. I wish you a happy birthday. Though we are apart, we'll soon be together again. In the meantime, you have all my love, your wife, May. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I went down to to the store and bought a big can of half and half. Had it wrapped, put that in an envelope and a card, and I took it to Don Mitchell at Hill and Dale Nursing Home. And when I took that in and he read that note, you'd think heaven came down. You see, that's what happens when love happens. And I felt so good of being a part of her giving a gift of love to her husband and helped him make that happen. And when we do those things, when we do loving things, we expand our own souls and our own hearts. It is such a pleasure to be a part of that. That's when God happens. I'll never forget serving them communion there at Hill and Dale. Finally got, she was in one section, he was in another section, and I wheeled her in her wheelchair and got them where they could join hands, and I served them communion. And just to watch that was like watching God happen in their lives. Why is it such a pleasure to extend love and to receive love? Why does that bless us so? Why does that just turn us spiritually on? What is there about this? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you something you already know, that God is love. And we are created in the image of God. We are created to be like God. And God created us for His love and our ability to love Him back. And by the way, when you get to the cross, there is where we see the sacrificial love of God. And when we see that, there's something that draws us to that love. And when we connect with God's love, that is when His love happens in our lives. Well, you see, it makes us feel so good because you're being more like God created you to be when you love than in any other thing you can possibly do in your lives. That's who we are. And all of the training that I've had in counseling, it all comes down to two basic human needs. We have a need to be loved and a need to love. That's how God has made us. And when you get to the bottom of all of it, we're talking about the need to be loved by another person and to love that person back. And when it happens, great things happen, small things happen, but God always happens when we love. That's the nature of reality itself in the human heart. Love explains who God is. It explains who we are. It explains the cross. It explains eternal life. What is love if it simply ends at the end of this life? It explains almost everything. And Karl Barth was asked, how could you summarize those 12 volumes of dogmatics? How could you summarize them into one sentence? And the great theologian said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's it. That's who we are. That's who God is. And that's why it's so important to have the joy of reaching out in love and forgiving and accepting and tolerating and take another human hand and say, I'm praying for you. You just know that I'm there for you. It is the greatest blessing that we can have in this life. I'm just about through now. Give me one more minute. And there was a letter to Ann Landers, and it's about this girl who was a checkout clerk in a small grocery store, and older lady came through, and she had about 12 items in her cart, and she said to the checkout girl, she said, you know, I'm living on my husband's pension. He has died. And she said, today, though, I don't have much money, but today I'm treating myself with strawberries and whipping cream. But when she checked out, she didn't have enough money to pay for the strawberries and the whipping cream. And the clerk didn't know what to do. She didn't know the policy of the store, but she checked her out, and the woman went out and sat on a bench to rest before walking to her apartment. But the man behind, he said, what happened here? And she explained it. He said, well, you add the strawberries and the whipping cream to my bill and take it out and give it to her. And she had someone to relieve her, and she did that, and she took out the strawberries and the whipping cream, and that elderly lady was so overcome with joy and tears that when that checkout girl came back to check out other customers, she could scarcely see to punch those keys. Why? Because when you do loving things, it is when God happens. Those are the most precious things in life. And remember this, a bell isn't a bell until you ring it. A song isn't song until you sing it. And love was not put in your heart to stay. Love is only love when you give it away. That's when God happens. Amen and amen. We invite you now to come and celebrate Holy Communion with us. And we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Let us break bread together.